Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I can't believe I finally memorized that. I've been doing this show for, I guess, close to 2 years now.
Longer.
No, probably less. It's really weird. I came home from work today, and I was walking down my hall, and one of my neighbors, this retired gentleman, he has a cat, and he always walks around with him, and I have a cat. So he came into the apartment, and the cats were sniffing each other. My cat is very submissive. Yeah, it's really funny. Have you ever seen cats when they... Are you a cat person?
I'm definitely a cat person, yeah.
You know, when a cat's really frightened and he's submissive, he'll actually turn his butt and stick it up in the other cat's face.
I know some men who do that.
That'll play right into some of the songs we're going to do. But anyway, so he said to me, hey, you know, Roger, you know, I've seen your show. So that was awesome.
Yeah.
Because I never know who's watching and who's not watching. And we don't actually do stats, so it's hard to say. So it's good to know that one person is watching.
Well, I mean, it's so great. I think it's great that you're just supporting local music. There's, as you know, there's so much amazing talent here. So I love that you do this. Love it.
Well, I feel bad for the younger generation because I don't think there's less and less room for live music. For example, when I was a teenager, we used to have lots of religious dances. The temple dances, Christian dances, and they're all played by kids in high school bands. We didn't have DJs.
Right.
We just didn't have them. I'm speaking to my daughter who just went to the, I'm going to age myself, but went to the junior prom. And I said, did you have a band playing? She looks at me like, what are you, out of your mind? I said, well, don't you ever have bands play at your dance? She says,
never.
No. And even worse, she goes, we wouldn't want a band to play.
Ooh, ouch.
So I don't know where the younger gen... Plus, when I was a kid, the bars drinking was 18. To me, what killed rock and roll was lifting the drinking age. Huh. I mean, it saved people's lives, but it killed the music business.
And you got to do a risk analysis there.
Well,
right?
For me, I kill the people. That's rock and roll was more important. Well, we're killing them overseas at 18.
Right.
So let them die here at 18.
Yep.
But I mean, on a serious note, I was lucky because I was 18. It was 18 in New York. I turned 19. They raised it to 19. I turned 20. They raised it to 20. So I'm like riding the wave, baby. But it really killed the music business because rock music is
for that age, yeah.
is for teenagers, and now it's not. Now it's for 20 somethings. That kind of pisses me off. sorry, it does.
No, I'm with you. I mean, we're 20 something and. That we were a lot more fun when we were teens, right?
but my daughter says to me, she goes, we wouldn't want a band because they'll only play the songs they want to play. I don't know if that's true because we used to play songs.
It's true.
Okay. And
don't
she
hire
said
Josh Gamble.
They wouldn't do a good job of the songs we want to hear.
Wow, she's quite the critic. Well, I get it though. I mean, it's just wanting to hear the songs the way she knows them, right?
She sent me a photo that she took that said, "Hire a teenager while they still know everything." So
that's
it's
awesome.
Great. I mean, it's great. At least she knows that she knows everything.
Right. Yes.
but then we were talking about bands that she liked, and she said, "Well, there's one band that I wouldn't mind have playing, and that's Paramore." You don't even know Paramore.
I don't even. Is that a young thing? I'm like out of the loop too.
They're a hot young rock band. They've got a female vocalist. They're actually very good. I was watching them on like channel 852 last night. No, I just got a box for Cablevision,
oh,
and
yeah.
They've got 47 channels of music.
Right. Yes, that's pretty cool.
So I'm just discovering everything. But anyway, so like I said, I think it's sad. I think it's you know, that it's hard to play live gigs because you can't get the young people in anymore. You can't play dances anymore because they have DJs. DJs have taken over the they've completely taken over the bar mitzvah business.
Yeah.
They've mostly taken over the wedding business. I know so many clubs that I used to play at that now have DJs. And you know what? This is a weird thing. I used to be, you know, freedom for everything. But look at Canada. In Canada, a radio station has to play like 50% Canadian artists.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Canada is very protective of their culture.
No kidding.
And if I ran the school district, I would say that they could only have live music at their dance.
I hear you. I actually went, when you said bar mitzvah, I used to play in a klezmer band in college, so I used to play bar mitzvahs.
And did you notice the work drying up?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, actually it changed. Within the 4 years I was in college, we were being booked a lot the first 2 years, but not so much at the end, you know. And it had to be, and they were, of course, more orthodox.
It couldn't be because you were getting worse and had a personality.
That's possible, too. We were getting too loud. No, but that's certainly true.
Okay, so I am really looking forward to hearing you play this set. You're going to play my favorite song that you do.
And hopefully yours too. I just realized though my parents now can't see this.
Well, we're going to burn you a DVD, so they'll have it forever.
So I'll edit at will.
So I'm looking forward to hearing you sing it. I'm looking forward to talking about it later.
Maybe. And then even after the show, and then...
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to your guitar solo. I'm looking forward to the dub section. Okay, so you want to... why don't we move around a little
bit? All right, cool. This is the first song I wrote. I'm doing my first three. And I wrote it in college in about 20 minutes with a friend of mine. I auditioned for the Vagina Monologues, and I'm a horrible actress, it turns out. Very, very bad. So I was so pathetic that they made up a chorus for me. Like, I was part of a chorus with two other horrible actresses because it was Wesleyan, and it's very liberal, and so they want everybody to be included. So I wrote the song. I said, I have to still be a star.
And what's it called?
Vaginalicious.
Something everybody can enjoy. Even the camera people.
I thought you were going to say even the children. Like, uh-oh.
Hole in the ozone, growing in size. But let me tell you about the hole between my thighs. She's got a personality all of her own. She can make me come, and she can make me moan. When I
how do you follow that?
I know, with an incredibly somber, serious song. So, I like, we're going to have a bipolar moment right now. This is a song, actually I wrote parts of it a long time ago, so maybe I lied about the vagina song being my first song ever written. I watched it, I wrote it after just watching the news, Middle East, being affected by the news, that kind of thing. It's called Palestina. Wake up in the gravel, wake up in dead air. Streets and faces, ash and bone, simmering despair. It's morning in Jerusalem, it's morning for the saved. Wishes are rendered black and dead, a chance of birds of prey.
These countries where different groups of people have lived at different points in time, and that's the oldest trick in the book. It's like,
who came first?
Well, it's not even a question, because now you have in Tibet, you have they've made Tibet an economic zone where they're trying to take the Han Chinese and move them in there.
Right.
So after 50 years, whose land is it really?
Right.
And no one really knows, and it's just awful. But I read a solution. I think the solution is not to give people foreign aid, but to give every family like $50. Because I really believe if people had money, they wouldn't be bothered with anything else. Because at the end of the day, you want to have a family, and you want your family to eat. And I think that they should, instead of giving them money to make missiles, they just want to give them money for food.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, certainly the situation in Gaza, it's one of the most impoverished areas in the world. And so, actually, you know, which a lot of people don't know. And that's
well, it's a horrible
why.
Thing. Well, because they used to be the low-wage workers in Israel. Now they've walled it off,
right.
So they have no income at all.
Right.
But so that's a very sad song.
Yeah.
And my advice to everybody over there is move to another country.
Fiji.
Ireland now.
I know, right? Celtic Tiger. I know it's the place to be. They're turning people away. So no, but actually, to your point, part of the song for me is just that both it's respecting both sides. You know, they're interchangeable. You know, like I, it wasn't about taking sides, it's about people and how horrible it is for everybody. And that song can be you can be Palestinian or Israeli singing it, kind of, you know, and having that experience.
Absolutely. But let's get back to a more positive subject. Vagina. I think that is a great. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of that Adam Sandler Hanukkah song. You know?
Totally.
Where he talks about who is a Jew, who's a half Jew.
Yep.
How did you pick the names for the vaginas in that song?
I took a poll.
Yeah, did you really? Yeah. Your close personal
actually,
friend?
You know what's I know, right? You know what's actually really funny?
Please. I'm honored that you're using my name.
I always get, you know, I gotta give you some props.
Okay. That's great. You have made my day. Okay, now I don't
my
need
my vaginas have many names, and today, Mr. Z.
Well, I didn't think it was necessarily yours. It was your friends.
I crossed the line. No. I actually took this class in college, psychological aspects of human sexuality. And the first thing we did, the first day of class, we were supposed to just name all the names for vagina and all the names for penis, you know, just all, you know, and just all the slang. And apparently, you know, we always thought that there would be a bazillion more words for penis, but there was always more for vagina. And she said every year, always more for vagina, so that's where I pulled my list from. Well, isn't that interesting? Wouldn't you think it was...
Well,
you know?
I was thinking of that while I was listening to the song. I was thinking, what do I call my unit? or what if some people called my unit? And then I was thinking, God, I hope it was big enough at the time.
Well, actually, you know, John Covert, you know, I've played the song with him a few times, and he's just... he's amazing. So he plays accordion with and I play guitar. And the first time we played it, he just started making up the male version of the song. I mean, he just started improvising the whole. Were you there for that?
Uh-huh.
It was unbelievable. I mean, he's very very quick, and he just we started playing off of each other and making some harmony. I guess that's what the song's all about.
Now, you know, the difference between music now and music when I was a teenager is that I remember, I don't know if you know the group Jefferson Airplane.
I'm big Grace Slick.
Well, they had one song from their Volunteers album, which was called Up Against the Wall.
Oh, yeah. Tear
down the walls, MF.
Right.
I don't feel comfortable saying it.
Right.
You know what we say? We say... As a kid, you spend half your life, you curse as a kid, but never in front of your parents. And then when you're a parent, I never curse in front of my kids.
Right.
So it's just kind of a funny thing.
Totally.
But I remember when they put that in the song, and it was like, wow.
That was a big deal then, right? Yeah.
Right. And it never got played on the radio.
Right.
You know, now I listen to my daughter's, like, Ludacris albums. And I say, don't play that record when I'm in the room.
Yeah.
Because it's just cursing. What is my point? My point is you could have a big hit with your vagina song.
Right, there are only one or two bleeps, actually. Just not too many.
Right, compared to some of the rap songs I've heard on the radio. Believe me. Actually, the interesting thing about this show is we are allowed to say anything we want.
Really?
But don't we're not me. Allowed oh. to sell a product.
Oh.
So if you had a CD, you couldn't say, come to my website and buy it for $10.
Right. So I can say, like, dildo, but I can't say, buy the rabbit.
You could say, buy my effing right. CD, but you just can't say, come to the website.
Right. Right, gotcha.
So that's pretty funny. That's funny.
Well, to your point about cursing, it's funny. Like, I took a screenwriting class a few years ago, and my professor used to count all the curses. And in what people would, you know, every time you drop the F-bomb, and you have to mean it, because it really has more power if you perfectly use it. If you use it all the time, it doesn't mean anything.
Sure.
And that was a huge lesson I learned with cursing and just other things. Like, if you're gonna drop the F-bomb, drop it. Like, well, you know?
Everything's got to be set up.
Yes. Definitely.
I read this interesting article about a drummer. And
a drummer.
His main thing is he plays on a lot of hip-hop records mm-hmm. because he can imitate a drum machine.
Oh, yeah?
Isn't that bizarre?
Who is it?
I don't remember his name.
Yeah.
But why they loved him is because he'd play, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he would pop one offbeat or one rhythmic thing
yeah.
that would just make the whole record.
Right.
So, but I mean, the whole thing is, you know, it's just set up, and then something different. Right, so if you're cursing all the time, it makes sense. But that brings me to your dream band.
The dream band. Well, I you know, thought about it a lot, so I will, don't be mad, I will go to famous people, but I have to say, literally, Anthony Candulo and Josh Dion, they are my fantasy band. I mean, I'm so blessed that they agreed to play with me and that they're going to be on my demo. I just, you know...
That and cash will make them happy, right?
And beer. No, really, I mean, so actually, you know...
Beer, you're still young. Okay.
Yeah, we're not up to scotch yet, I don't think. You know, I played obviously at the jams. I played with a lot of people, and the reason that I wanted to play with Anthony and Josh is, first of all, everything they do is so tasteful and well chosen, and not planned at all. It's well chosen, but completely in the moment and natural. And they both have just such an incredible technical facility. But when they play, like, doesn't even matter. Like, you would never, you know, think about it. So
it's an organic groove.
Exactly. And so for me, oh, and then the other reason is they both have very distinct voices on their instruments. And so I just, for me, it's just such a pleasure to play with them.
Well, so to me, they sound like the band when they were doing the Vagina song. They had the band kind of groove.
Yeah.
but let's get to some big famous people.
Soon you will be.
Sorry, no, guys.
No, not famous. Famous now, not famous in 10 years.
Yeah. People want to hear, you know.
Yeah. Well, actually, funny that you mentioned Jefferson Airplane, because I actually really dig Jack Cassidy as a bass player. Like, I kind of, you know, I was never a really huge Yorma fan. Like, I, you know, he did.
Yorma's the guitar player.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been saying that for a while.
So sorry. Yeah. I mean, some of his later stuff I like, but on the earlier, I mean, he certainly embodied that very psychedelic sound, but I thought Jack Cassidy really held it together. You know, do you know that song on, I think it's on After Bathing at Baxter's, Rejoice? This one about, it's a Grace Slick kind of.
I gotta tell you, that's my least favorite Jefferson Airplane.
Really? Now. I just have like the great, maybe it doesn't know. Yeah, really? You didn't dig that one?
My favorite were Volunteers
yeah.
and Crown of Creation.
Oh yeah, Crown of Creation's great.
I love the song, when Jeff Hartwell turned 30, I sent him the song.
Lather
turned
yes.
30 today.
Oh yeah.
And that was a great song. But anyway, so you got Jack Cassidy on bass. Who do you have on drums?
This guy Matt Chamberlain. He played with like Tori Amos and I think Melissa Etheridge and a lot of like the chick musicians that I listen to, and he just I think they called him the human loop. He's really incredible at filling the sound and just creating this incredible dynamic with, like, again, you know, well chosen beats. And there's this one song that he does with Tori Amos, it's a slow song. Like, it's a very slow song, but he builds it over the last 4 or 5 minutes of the song that, like, I run to it. I mean, you know, like, it's so, it used to be on my running mix, and it's just so powerful. So, him on drums.
And guitar?
I'm going to play guitar.
Right, but no, I mean, you could have three other guitar players.
That's true. It'll be like the end of the night kind of thing, right? Actually, I would totally dig playing with B.B. King. I would really, you know, just with two notes and, right?
My great thing about B.B. is, B.B.'s very bizarre in that he does not play rhythm guitar.
Yeah, he just sits and chills.
Well, what he does is he sings, and then he answers his vocals playing like a solo line.
It's amazing. I mean, and when I started listening to his earlier stuff, I had no idea that his voice was so ridiculous, and that, you know, his voice is incredible. I can't imitate what he does in terms of phrasing, and he does the same thing with guitar, so absolutely.
Well, you know a guy named Vince Gill?
Yeah.
Vince Gill is one of the biggest country stars ever, and people always yell at him, why don't you play more guitar on your records? Because he was on the Crossroads DVD with Eric Clapton, and he and Joe Walsh were the best guys on it.
Yeah.
And he says, you know what? Vocals sell. People don't buy my records to hear guitar. Right. Anyway, it was a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
You're an awesome guest. Vagina forever.
We're out.
There you go. Cool. Can't get much better than that.